stood beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name.
These are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded whole.
Oh, he fell upon his knees and he cried, I am not one of these. Waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame.
These are the company of martyrs, the mighty fellowship of saints, who knew our Lord and walked beside him, who ran the holy race and did not faint.
Oh, he fell upon his knees and he cried, I am not one of these. Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy, like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul. And the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? He almost shouted at the angels.
These are sinners saved by grace, the host of them who called upon the Savior, washed in blood and justified by faith.
And oh, he leaped up from his knees. Oh, I can go in with thee.
My heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in.
Oh, he thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lowly band of people by the world despised. But as the scenes of heaven opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the host of heaven rise.
They sang, I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. I can rejoice. I can lift up my voice. I can sing. And I can go in. I can go in.
Well, thank you for that. That was very good. The special singing today has been a blessing to my heart, as I trust it has been to yours as well. Your Bible is open to Matthew chapter number 4, and I want to speak to you out of this passage of Scripture on following and fishing. Oftentimes, when we think about missions, we use the word a lot. We talk about praying for missions, and certainly we should. Praying for missions, praying for missionaries. We talk about giving to missions, and certainly we should. But I want to talk to you today about doing missions. It's a wonderful thing to pray for missions. And I believe that every Christian ought to be praying that the Word of God may have free course, and that God's Word would go out in power, and that they would be servants of the Lord. We as Christians carrying the word of life out into a lost, dark, and dying world. There are some of those that will go even beyond, as we see here in this passage of Scripture. We have some names listed here. Some stayed at home and right there in their community, and they witnessed, and they were a great witness for the Lord. They were great soul winners. And then some, well, as we shall see, they left their hometown and just listen, they took journeys around the globe, starting churches, planting New Testament, Bible-believing churches, where the Word of God was preached and the people of God were saved, or the people were saved and became children of God. But I want you to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to talk to you just a little bit about three things about this passage. As I said, when we talk about missions, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the praying for missions. And brethren, every missionary that I have ever met and talked to in a long conversation where it got beyond just the exchanging of pleasantries have never failed to tell me this: we need your prayers. And so I want to encourage you, if you are praying for missionaries, continue to pray for missionaries. Continue to pray that the Word of God may go forth. Jesus said we ought to pray unto the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into the harvest. And I have found that as we begin to pray that way, God will begin to send us. God will begin to send you. God will begin to send me. God will begin to send us. Sometimes it's right here at home. But did you know that God is going to reach down in this congregation of people one day, and He is going to call someone to leave, just like He did here, your work, leave your family. Notice if you would, right here in verse number 20, it says that straightway they left their nets. They left their work. And then if you look in verse number 22, it says immediately they left the ship and their father. They left their family. They left it all. And they went to do what Jesus had bid them to do. And one day, I'm convinced that God is going to reach down in this congregation of people, and He is going to call some man, some family, to go out into a place that He's going to lay upon your heart as a burden to start a New Testament, Bible-believing, indigenous, autonomous church for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. I'm just 100% sure of it. Perhaps today God is already working in someone's heart and saying, I have been giving to missions, I have been praying for missions, but I believe God is calling me to go to a place where He wants me to begin, my family, under the power of the Holy Spirit, to begin a New Testament church. When God places His hand upon you like that,
There will be a thrill in your heart that will bring a smile to your face like we saw this morning with Brother Underwood. It won't be drudgery. It won't be grievous. It won't be, just suffering for Jesus, preacher. You'll be so excited that God placed His hand upon you and is using you to get the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. I want to look at this a little bit, and I want to take some words out of this passage of Scripture and talk with you a little bit about what Jesus is saying here. First of all, I want to make missions very clear. You do not have to go across the sea to be a missionary. I'm thankful for those who God has called and have gone across the sea. And I do believe there is a difference in what is known as foreign missions than what is known as domestic missions. But missions is missions. Missions, I believe, can be summed up in fishing for men. Fishing for men. Going after the lost, taking the Word of God and the power of God and going after people that have not been saved and giving them the gospel of Christ that the power of God may work in their life and they would be saved as they receive and respond to the gospel. Well, we have the story here in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus has just come out of the wilderness being tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights, and He was victorious through that time of temptation. And now the Bible says that He wants to make contact with people. Now listen very carefully. If we are going to be the Christians that God called us to be, now God didn't call us to save us so that we could be about ourselves and live to ourselves. God wants us to make contact with other people. Sometimes it'll be the person who lives across the street. Sometimes it'll be the person that lives across town. And yes, sometimes it will be to people that live across the seas. But God wants His people to make contact with others. So listen what Jesus does here in verse number 18. The Bible says, after Jesus came out of being tempted, after spending a little time in preaching, in verse number 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that He took a walk. And as He began to walk, the Bible says in verse number 18 that He walked by the Sea of Galilee. And as He walked by that sea, He made contact with some people. He looked on some men that He had met before. If you'll read John chapter 1, you'll see where Jesus' initial meeting with these men took place. And when He met them, they placed their faith and trust in Him. Andrew went and findeth Peter and brought him to Christ. You know the story there in John chapter 1. And so they had met Christ. They knew what it was to repent and to be saved. But then they went back to kind of doing what they did. And Jesus said, I've got something more. I just didn't save you to keep you out of hell. I just didn't save you to change a few things about your life. I saved you to change everything about your life. Now, we hear a lot today about hypocrites. And I don't listen to a whole lot of what people say about hypocrites in the church because I'm a little more concerned about hypocrites outside the church than I am hypocrites inside the church. Say amen right there. And I think other people ought to be as well. I realize there's hypocrites in the church. All right, I realize that. But sometimes I don't think that people realize what a hypocrite is. And so in order to be a hypocrite, well, you've got to pretend to be something that you're really not. If you're saved, then live like a saved person, and that'll answer all that. Amen. God just doesn't come and save us to change the way we act at church. Amen. You say, well, I'm going to be this way at church, and then outside the church, I'm going to be just the way I've always been. Can I tell you something? Something's wrong with that. When Jesus saves us, He changes us. It doesn't matter where you are. At home, at church, at rest, at play, Jesus makes a difference in someone's life. Now, here's what happens. The Bible says Jesus is walking by the sea. And as He is walking by the sea, He saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Here they were going about their daily routine, and here they are, they're working, and the Scripture says that when Jesus went by, He made contact with them. He initiated conversation with them. Did you know that that's what God wants from all of us? He wants us initiating conversation with people. He wants us sharing something with other people. Now watch what Jesus does here. He made an offer to two men. And he said this, he saith unto them, he had already met them. Read John chapter 1. And then he comes and he sees them again and he said, I have an offer for you. I've got something I want you to understand. He said, I want to change your life. I want to change your perspective. I want to change the way you view life. I don't want you just viewing life as now. I don't want you just viewing life as temporal. I want you to understand that I want to change your perspective on life, your perspective on men, your perspective on people, mankind. Now, if you're saved this morning, and listen, I don't know who is and who's not saved under the sound of my voice today, but I can tell you this. If you're here and you're saved, you know Jesus is your personal Savior, you'll be able to validate what I'm getting ready to say. When one gets saved, Jesus changes the way that we look at mankind. I used to go to people and I saw all kinds of things. I would look maybe at the way their appearance. I would look at maybe their social status. I would look at maybe their educational realm. I would look at so many different things, what they were involved in, what they were not involved in. But I would never consider, before getting saved, I wonder what the spiritual condition of that person is. I wonder if that person has ever come to Christ. I wonder if they know what it is to have their sin forgiven. But did you know when I got saved, I haven't met one person since I've gotten saved that I didn't wonder. I wonder if that person's ever trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, I haven't always approached the person about it. There's been times I've been backslidden in my heart that I didn't do when God told me, hey, I want you to go tell that person about me. And I didn't do it. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for that. What about you? Now that you're saved, doesn't God change the way that we look at people? Doesn't God? Does He, brethren? Does He? You're saved? You know what it is to be saved? You know what it is to have the Spirit of God living in your bosom? To know what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? To know that life is not now only. There's a hereafter. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, then what? Then what, brethren? And when we look at people, we've got to look at them as not just being a body. They have a soul, an ever-dying soul that's never going to die as far as they're going to exist somewhere forever. Well, when Jesus called unto these men this day in verse number 19, this is what he said. So he goes from making contact with them to calling them. He saith unto them, follow me. Follow me. You know, we have a problem with that. Oh, I'm not talking about just Christians. Mankind has a problem with following. If you work in a work environment and you are in a position of leadership in your workplace, you know that people have a problem with following. You can lay down clear, distinct instructions and people won't follow them. You say, well, they're forgetful, perhaps. Well, they're just not as bright as I thought they were, perhaps. And we can make up all kinds of excuses, but I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Fixed within that word follow, listen carefully, fixed within the word follow, somebody's got to give up some control. See, when Jesus said follow, the word follow, when I went to Webster 1828, it means pursue. It means to step where I step. Join me, he was saying. Join me in this journey that I'm on. Join me. Take this journey with me. Take the steps that I take. Follow. Follow. Which means give up what you're going to do and do what I do. And that's where people have a problem. Follow me. Follow. See, when the word follow is presented, immediately it means, okay, you may have to change a direction. You may have to change a thought. You may have to change in order to obey that. Follow. Follow. It means resigning and giving up something in order to go in that direction. Pursuing. You with me? Follow. It sounds simple. Follow me. Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Really? Do you realize who's saying this? This is not just anyone saying this. This is the Son of God. You know where following Jesus took the disciples? To the high priest's house. After he was arrested and falsely accused, he was getting ready to be beaten. He was getting ready to go to the cross. See, following Jesus always leads to the shadow of the cross. Following Jesus means giving up a direction that I'm going in and following His direction. Following Jesus will take you to the Garden of Gethsemane where He prayed, and I will eventually, if I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to have to say as He said, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. Now that's following Jesus. You say, preacher, why am I not fishing? Well, no following, no fishing. No following, no fishing. Many at Fellowship Baptist Church know what it is to be involved in missions, and I'm thankful for that. But I want to take you a step further. Pray for missions. Continue to pray. Continue to give. If you've slacked off a little bit in both, let me encourage you to get back in to praying and giving to missions. But now do missions. Follow. Follow me. See, we don't want it to be just a mechanical, ceremonial type of religious action to where we say, well, I'm giving to missions. Been giving to missions for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Been giving to missions. We don't want it to become just a religious exercise to where we say, well, I'm giving to missions. Or I'm praying for missions. Well, I got prayer for missions down here on, the 22nd of this month, I'm going to be praying for missions. See, there's nothing wrong with praying and giving, but if we're not careful, the things that we do can become just mechanical. Right? It can become just an exercise. And Jesus said, follow me, He said, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Follow me, not the church. See, some people follow the church. You don't want to follow the church. Love the church. Be a part of the church. But that's not why we're here. Jesus said, follow me. You don't want to follow the preacher. Jesus said, follow me. Well, the preacher said, give to missions. We're going to give to missions. Well, I appreciate people that have that mindset, but it's got to be deeper than that. Amen. It's got to be deeper than that. Jesus said, follow me. Who are you following this morning? Think about it with me now. I'm talking to you about missions. Why did Jesus come to this earth? This one that said, follow me, what was He doing here? You say, well, preacher, He was a great preacher. That's not why Jesus came to this earth. What an example He was, preacher. That's not why Jesus came to this earth. He taught all kinds of good moral conduct and all kinds of things that were helpful to mankind. That's not why Christ came to the earth. Jesus came here on a mission. And His mission was to reconcile man back to God. That was the mission of Jesus Christ. Who are you following? There's one way you can know if you're following Christ. I cannot tell who everyone is following, but there's one way that each one of us can tell if we're following Christ. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you." Sounds like a commitment to me. How many people did you fish for this past week? How many did I fish for? Missions, brethren. Missions. Not putting money in an envelope and placing it in the offering plate only. That's part of it. Thank God for the giving. Not praying and calling the name of the many missionaries that we partner with. That's part of it. Thank God for people who would do that. Missions is fishing for men. Going after them. Going after them. And all of us are involved in that. All of us are involved in that. That is discipleship. Follow me. Follow me. Go after them. Get on this path. Jesus is not saying, now go down to the church and get their creed and get their covenant and follow their covenant. That's not what he said. He said, follow me. You know what happens? It's began to happen in our churches today. And it's why there's a great fall off. It's why there's a great fall off in the attendance of church, the fervency of church. Because we have placed more of an emphasis on following the creed or the covenant or the guidelines instead of following the person of Jesus Christ. You see, if I get so caught up in following this and this and this, and many of them are good things, I will lose track of, hey, I need my eyes to be on Jesus. I need to be doing what Jesus was doing. What was Jesus doing? Well, if when you read the scripture, you find, you want to follow Jesus? Read the Word of God. See what He said, and you'll see that Jesus loved people. Jesus approached people. Jesus confronted people about their spiritual need. Jesus forgave people. Didn't He? Did He forgive the thief on the cross? I'm not going to forgive them, preacher. Then you're not going to be following Jesus and you're not going to be fishing after men. I'm not going to love them, preacher. Then I'm not going to be following Jesus and I'm not going to be fishing after men. No following, no fishing. Preacher, I didn't witness to anybody this past week. Who were you following? On this mission emphasis Sunday, we need to understand that while we're very thankful for the flags that represent the many people groups that we have partnered with, that we have a personal responsibility to follow Christ and to fish for men. I fear that if we're not careful, we'll get to the place where it becomes mechanical, to where we can put money in an envelope and put it in the plate and say, here, let them go tell them. That's not the way missions works, brethren. I am grateful for those that give and the money that is raised in order to allow us to partner with the many missionary families that we partner with around the world. And I pray that God would enlarge our coast and allow us to continue to support these and even grow our support to them and add other families that we could support around the world and the nations of the world. But we don't want to become so mechanical, do we? To where we think we can just place the responsibility that God has given His people to be fishers of men on other people and be content with that. I don't think I speak to a group of people that takes that at all. I believe that you understand that we have a responsibility. You want to be a fisher? You want to be a soul winner? You want to be a missionary? You want to care for people? You want to make a difference in someone's life? Follow me, He said. Follow me. Now watch what he said. Follow me, and here's the commitment. I will make you fishers of men. There's a commitment there. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers. I think sometimes people look at Christianity this way. Follow me, and I'll make you successful. You've heard that preaching, haven't you? Follow me and I'll make you successful. Follow me and I'll make you happy. Everybody wants to be happy. But that's not what Jesus said. and I'll this. Follow me. Jesus said, if you follow me, you can be assured that your view, your worldview, will become a concern for people's eternity. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Not follow me, and I'll supply for you so you can make them fishers for men. That is not God's way. You say, preacher, I want to give more to Faith Promise Missions. I'll tell you how you can get that great burden. You go visiting in a community and you knock on doors and you see what's behind those doors and you'll want to give more to missions than you've ever given in your life. You read the missionary letters that these folks are sending in from around the world. Around the world. Talk to our bus workers and hear some of the things that I heard just this morning. A situation that would literally break your heart into, of the conditions that people live in, the sin that people are involved in, the heartbreak and the heartache that it brings to people's lives. Brethren, sin hasn't changed. Sin still destroys lives. And the only way that we're going to be able to make a difference is to get concerned about way we're going to get concerned about their souls is follow Christ. How often have you said it? How often have I said it? I wished I had a greater burden for souls. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever said that? I wished I had a greater burden for souls. I wished I could somehow empathize with people that were lost without God. I wish that there was somehow that I would see the importance of getting people saved like I should. I know I should have a greater burden. I know I should put a greater emphasis on getting people saved. I wished I could. How can I do that, preacher? Well, I think Jesus summed it up right here, don't you? Follow me. How do you follow Jesus? Well, I think we start by realizing who He is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You'll never follow Jesus if you don't spend time in this book right here. This is Jesus. This is the written Word of God, and Jesus is the living Word of God. You cannot separate them. One of the names of Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word. To follow Him is to learn of Him. How do you learn of Jesus? You read the Word. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What about you this morning? You fishing? Aren't you glad somebody fished where you were? Aren't you glad somebody came fishing where you were? In your pond, so to speak? Oh, preacher, I got saved on my own. Yeah, you keep on thinking that. God sent someone fishing in your fishing hole. And they got you for Christ. Who are you getting for Christ? Who am I getting? Are we fishing? Brethren, this is missions. Fishing. Fishing. I don't know a fisherman alive, and I don't know too many, that went fishing one time and it didn't work out for them, so they quit. There's probably somebody here, so I did. Well, okay, you're one in a million, okay? Every time you go fishing, the fish aren't biting, brethren. But a good fisherman will tell you, if you keep going, you're going to catch some fish. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. How do you think these men responded? Jesus made a commitment to them. He said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers. I like what by him saying that, he's saying, you're not fishers. You don't care about men. You care about what you're doing. The only way you're going to care about men and want to fish for them is if you follow me. Is that what he's saying? That's what he's saying. If we don't follow, we won't fish. You say, well, preacher, I like this comfortable feeling just being around Christians all the time. Who's going to reach the lost? Who's going to reach them? That's our responsibility. That's missions. It's reaching the lost. Through bus ministry, through soul winning visitation, through evangelistic outreach, through worldwide evangelism, we are to reach the lost. Here's what they did. Oh, I realize that, listen, as I look out over the congregation, I realize this is not one of those messages where people jump up and say, woohoo, we get to fish for men. But you know what? It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege. I love to tell people what Jesus has done in my life. I love telling them what He can do in their life. These men took it very serious. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20, and they straightway left their nets. They said, I won't be a part of something like that. You follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They said, let's do it. Let's do it. Look down, if you would, in verse number 22. After he went to John and James, the sons of Zebedee, in verse number 21, the Bible says in verse number 22, they immediately, let's do it. Let's do it. Wonder what would happen if I put out a cry this morning to all the saved. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I'm not speaking to you right now. I'm going to speak to you in just a moment. You can't fish for men. You're part of being fished for. But if you're here this morning and you're saved, wonder what would happen in the communities in which we live if we immediately, straightway, got to fishing for men. Got to fishing for men. Would you like to know? Would you like to know what happens when people get interested in doing what Jesus said? We'll close this morning out of Acts chapter number 4. If you would turn there, and we'll go to chapter 2, and I just want to read some scripture to you, okay? You say, preacher, they left their nets, they left their homes, they followed Jesus. Did it work for them? Can I tell you anything that Jesus says is going to happen is going to happen? It's going to happen. When Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, they began to follow. Straightway, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left and followed him. What happened? Well, here's those guys. What guys? You know them guys. Peter, Andrew, John, James. Huh? Here they are in Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says in verse number 4 that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were full of the power of God. And they were people all around them. And when God filled them with His power, the Bible says in verse number 14 that Peter, you know Peter, you remember him, don't you? He was there on the side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was walking down and he said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And Peter said, let's do this. Didn't always go the way Peter thought it was going to go. But in the process of time, the Bible says right here that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, that he stood up, but he didn't stand alone. He had some other fishermen around him. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. You know, kind of like I'm doing right now. That's preaching, brother. And the Bible says that Peter lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And he began to preach unto them. What was he doing? He was fishing. Fishing for men. Did you catch any, preacher? Well, let's see here. If you'll read right over, the Bible says, look down there with me if you would, in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 37, the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, kind of like a hook going in the fish's jaw. They were pricked in their heart. The Holy Ghost got them, amen. The preaching of the Word of God made a difference in their life. And then the Bible says they were pricked in their heart and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, you know, those fishermen, that Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And he said the same thing to you and I. They began to follow, and then they began to fish, and then God gave them a heap of an increase. The Bible says that they said unto them, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then verse number 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 41 says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's a good catch of fish. Amen. It's a good catch of fish. Why? Because they'd been following. They'd be following. Didn't always work out the way they thought it was going to work out. They had some bumps along the road, didn't they? These apostles and disciples. And you and I are going to have bumps along the road too. But they didn't quit fishing. They didn't quit fishing because they had a few bumps in the road. They didn't throw their poles away, spiritually speaking. They didn't quit. Oh, they felt like it. One time they even went back to it, old Peter did. But this same man got right with God and on the day of Pentecost stood and said, I'm going to fish for men again, God. I'm going to fish for men again if you'll be my helper. And God helped him. He drew in about 3,000. You say, if you look over in chapter number 3, here's those men, Peter and John. You remember them, don't you, from Matthew 4? As Jesus was walking down the Sea of Galilee, you remember Peter and John, don't you? They were there, Peter and Andrew, John and James, they were there. Well, here they are fishing for a man. This man couldn't do a whole lot for himself. He was crippled by the gait. Fishing. You know what happened? They called him, amen. They caught a fish who jumped up and clapped his heels together and said, glory to God, amen. I'm healed spiritually and physically. That's what happens when you fish for men. You don't always come up dry. You can make a difference in someone's life. I can make a difference. Getting involved in missions, getting involved in fishing for men, it's what makes a difference in people's lives. Every person here, somebody fished you out of an old hell hole. Somebody fished you out of the dirt and the muck of the old hell hole, and now you're here saved in the grace of God. You ought to be praising God for fishermen. I mean spiritual fishermen. And we ought to go fishing for them too. I close with this. Chapter number 4. As we fish, don't you think the devil's going to say, y'all go on and fish down there at Fellowship Baptist Church. Try to get all Madison saved, would you? That's not what the devil's going to say. Well, just try to get everybody in Orange saved over there, Brother Troy. Let's get Culpeper while we're at it. Green. Y'all just get them all saved. The devil's going to fight. And he is fighting. He always fights people that fish for men. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. This fishing stuff works. Jesus said, you follow me. Didn't say follow the church now. He didn't say follow the creed, the preacher, the Christians. He said, you follow me. The reason there's a lot of people getting discouraged and quitting and dropping out is because they're following man. Jesus said, you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's a guarantee. You say, I sure would like to win some people to Jesus. Start following him. And you'll start fishing. You can't help yourself. That's what they said. Verse number 20, after they brought them in and threatened them and told them, now stop it. Stop that fishing. Stop that spiritual fishing. Quit it. They said in verse number 20 of chapter 4, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. We can't help but fish. We love it so much. Kind of like hunters on the first day of hunting. Amen. We got to hunt. Spiritual fishing. Fishing for men. This is where it's at. See, in a word, that's missions. Fishing. Going after people. Going to where they are. Not setting up a little tent saying, hey, y'all come up here. Jesus went down to the Sea of Galilee where they were, got him some fish, and then sent them out to where other people were, and they got them some. And eventually Jesus went out and got one. I mean, he caught a big fish. Where's Brother Calvin at? He caught a big fish, Brother Calvin. I mean a big one. On the road to Damascus. Caught him a big fish. In reality, if you're here this morning and you're saved, that's why you're here this morning as a Christian. Because that big fish he caught, you know, that guy that was killing Christians, that everybody was afraid of when he got saved, that nobody wanted to have anything to do with, that people thought he'll never fish for God. Shows how much man knows. Sometimes we think we know, but we don't know. And old Saul got to fishing, and he became Paul. And he started going to those European countries, and he started branching out and taking missionary journeys. And that's how your ancestors and my ancestors got in. That's how we got saved. That's why we're here. Because there was a big old fisherman who said, I'm not going to give up on people. Don't you give up on people either. Let's not give up. Fish. Fish. You say, fishing doesn't interest me. It's because you're not following him. I can't tell you why you're not following him, but I can tell you if you're not fishing, you're not following. I can only tell you that it is not natural for a man to fish for men. It's not natural. That's why Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you. It's something you have to become. You don't have it within you to do that. But if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Let's all stand. On this Mission Emphasis Sunday, I wonder how many of us are excited about being fishers of men. Fishers of men. Going out there and getting them in. Following Jesus. What a wonderful thing to do in life. Amen. I'm not talking about following some religious hierarchy or some movie star or music group or rapper or bling, bling, blang, blang. I'm talking about following Jesus Christ. Following Him. And getting a desire, a drive in your heart to be a fisher of men. To want to see people get saved. To want to see their life changed. Isn't it wonderful to see that? Where are you at, Jenny? Where's Jenny Moyer at? Where's Jenny May? There she is back there. Isn't it wonderful to see people like Jenny get her life changed because somebody went fishing, Brother Troy? Amen. That's great stuff. Brother Brian, Sister Stacy, raise your hand. Isn't it good? You see what God's doing in this couple's life? You know why? Somebody went fishing. Somebody went fishing. You say, oh, preacher, they just washed up on the shore. That's not the way it happens. I know they look like it sometimes. That's a great young couple right there, and God's doing a great job in their heart. He's doing a great work with them. You know why? Somebody went fishing. Somebody was following Jesus and said, going after him. Amen. How many of you, somebody come fishing after you? So glad. You know who it was? Somebody came fishing for me. Raise your hands. Praise God. Somebody come fishing for you. Somebody came fishing for you, brethren. Somebody came fishing for you. You say, well, preacher, they didn't catch much when they caught me. Well, you know what? You may feel that way, but I don't think God looks at you that way. I know as your pastor, I don't. I'm glad that they caught you. And I'm glad God sent you to this church. You could be a part of this great fisherman's club that God calls a local church, and He wants us to go out and get to fishing for men. Now, He does. What about you? You fishing? You are if you're following. But now, if you're not following, that's a clear sign. That's a clear sign. That's why you're not fishing. Let's bow our heads just for a moment.